are the Genisodes, my very own podcast where good things are good and bad things are less good.
Jen, now and then. If you a bad type chick, mama, my cosign. People see you in the club and be like, oh yes, sir. They make it gyrate just like an earthquake. Do your thing, girl, let me see you shake and bake.
Welcome to the Genisodes. This is Jen, and today I have with me two special guests and a little one on the side. I have Becca, or Tallulah, from Twitter, and Fraser Ronald, who's Accidental Phrase on Twitter, and also one of the members of Accidental Survivors. And in the background, you might hear Peanut.
Yes, that is the Peanut.
Okay, so how are you guys tonight?
Doing good.
Hanging out.
Do you have all your drinks? Because I know, Fraser, you guys always do a drink check. So would you like to... What are you drinking?
It's in the contract.
Yes.
So what are you drinking?
Well, as anybody who listens to the Accidental Survivors would probably figure out, I am drinking McClay's, which is a traditional pale ale.
Delicious.
It is awesome.
That does sound good. I am drinking a half-calf caramel macchiato. I needed I needed just a little caffeine, and why the heck not?
Sounds absolutely delicious. And I was drinking some Merlot a little bit ago, but it's all gone. I couldn't stop drinking it.
The entire bottle?
No, it was just the glass.
Oh, okay.
So
sure it was.
But I just had a couple quick announcements. Everybody should go check out the five fabulous questions that Tallulah, or actually Becca and Fraser answered. They're on the website. And also to go to the forums, which is rpgcrosstalk.webs.com. And they're also we're also having a contest over there. So once we hit 100 members and subtract out, you know, the podcasters and some of the administrative people on there, we're going to give away a prize to a random person. So more people should come on and join, and there's a lot of stuff going on over there, a lot of commenting. There's like 6 or 7 podcasts I haven't counted in the past couple days because we keep adding more, but it's a lot of fun over there, so you should go check it out.
And the nice thing is that the threads in there tend to be very polite, but also a lot of really good points and very thoughtful.
Yes, and we try to keep it that way. And if something does become a little broader, we try to move it to a general discussion so that everybody can enjoy it and not just miss it within like an episode topic type thing. So we also have the RPG Crosstalk show, which people should come and listen to. And we recap the shows over like a biweekly period. So in case you don't get to hear all the shows, you could at least find out what they're about and then maybe be able to go back and listen to it. Yay.
That sounds like a really good idea. You guys are on the ball.
Yeah. And I also started a blog.
Ooh.
I know.
Is it because of the episode with Ryan Macklin? Are you creating an internet presence?
No, I just wanted to have a blog because every time I'd come up with something, I'd be like, oh man, I want to write this, but I don't know where to put it. So it's just casual type stuff. It's not like every day. Okay. So I wanted to have you guys on to talk about something very special to you two. I wanted to talk to you guys about gaming and kids. So I know a lot of people out there are parents and they have to balance, you know, work and kids and gaming. So I wanted to talk to you both because you both have young children and you've talked about them on the internet, either through Facebook or Twitter. Like Peanut has her own Twitter thing. So let's just start off by talking about a quick background about of your gaming and what you do and your kids, if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I started gaming when I met my husband, who was then my boyfriend. I didn't know much about it other than, you know, it was something you did with dice. And I used to hang out with him and his gaming group. And one day I said, you know, this looks fun. I think I'll join in, and got hooked and been gaming about on and off for 12 years now.
Nice.
I can't tell you how long I've been gaming because they didn't have calendars when I started. My first dice was made out of a Tyrannosaurus shin bone, so that gives you some idea. I actually did start with the red boxed set. So look at the publication date on that, and you're going to have a really good idea just how old I truly am.
So how about your kids, Fraser? How about, like, How old are they? And
well, I've got two girls, 4 and 2. We refer to the eldest as the princess online, and the youngest used to be Smiley McDrools a lot. I don't drool anymore, so we'll just go with Smiley.
Okay. So you both have picked, I guess, nicknames to use on the internet when you're talking about them, either like on Twitter. I think they're really cute names, but why did you pick those instead of just using their real names?
For me, we when I was pregnant with Isadora, and before we even knew she was an Isadora, I started referring to her as the peanut, and it just kind of stuck. So that's kind of why I use it for her online name too.
For me, if you're my friend on Facebook, you will get actual pictures and the real names of my children, because I tend to be a little bit more discerning about who I will link with on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But my Twitter feed is open, so I'm not going to, I don't even give my wife a name. She's Queen Wife. You're not going to get that much personal information. Now, you know what? If you actually listen to the podcast, it comes out, just because the guys that are on the podcast with me, we're all like friends. We're old friends. So when I'm doing the podcast with them, I just seem to be talking like two friends. So it kind of slips out. But just to give my family a little bit of anonymity, mm-hmm. from the random people on Twitter, just gave them a nickname.
So does Peanut like to see when people tweet back to her and like see posts and messages to her?
Yes. Actually, I started doing that, the Twitter for her, because she says so many funny things during the day, and I wanted to remember them to write it in our little notebook that we keep for her. So I just started the Twitter account, and then at night I go back through and write them down in her special notebook.
Because mm-hmm. there's always so many cute little pictures on there. I always like looking at them.
Yeah, proud mommy thing, you know. Gotta show off our kids.
Yeah, I do the same thing with the dogs, so it's okay. So how did gaming change for you after you had children? You both had gamed, you know, before. So what happened afterwards? Was there some changes with, you know, when you could game, or were you able to just work it all in?
Oh, it definitely changed, especially at first. You know, in those first few months, you're pretty busy, and there's, you know, the lack of sleep. You don't really care about gaming. Your free time is spent either sleeping.
Or talking about sleep.
or hey, when was the last time I slept? Yeah,
I'm really tired. How about you? Yeah, I'm really tired too. We should sleep.
I think there's a role-playing game for that.
Sleep, the RP. Sleep, the sleepening. But actually, I quit. I didn't play for about a year after the princess was born.
Mm-hmm.
So my social life just took a nosedive at that point. Once she got a little bit older, and there was, see, in Canada, and the job that I have right now, because we're a single income family, I'm the one that works. I got 8 months off when my daughter was born, when both my daughters were born. So for that 8 months, we were very focused on the kids. Mm-hmm. And after I went back to work, she was old enough that I was able to start gaming again. But yeah, for 8 months after the birth of my first daughter, I didn't game at all.
Wait, did you do anything with gaming, like reading any of the books or blogs, or did you just kind of like stop completely?
Well, we were podcasting at the time. So that was really one of the big drives I had for Axon Survivors. And people will notice that once I started gaming, our recording schedule kind of tapered off, mm-hmm. oddly enough. Yeah, and I had been working on a project for another gaming company at the time, and I had to finish it off just after she was born. So in the 6 weeks after her birth, my afternoons when she was napping was spent trying to finish this manuscript. And my wife had a really rough birth. So honestly, for 6 weeks, she was bedridden, like literally. While gaming was on my mind and I was doing stuff for it initially, like I didn't miss the actual going out and gaming. And then after things had calmed down a bit, because I had the podcast, I didn't feel a huge impetus to go out and start another game.
Mm-hmm. So now it's been a couple of years and they've started to grow up and hit their terrible twos and threes and fours. How do you manage to take care of the your small children and fit gaming in, and even for you, for a podcast?
Again, you'll notice the podcasting schedule has declined slightly. we're kind of getting back into the groove. Now, the interesting thing is that all of the guys, Chris, Rob, and I, we all have kids basically all the same age. Rob's eldest boy is a few months older than my eldest girl, and then Chris's daughter is a few months younger, and then Rob's daughter is a few months older than my second daughter. So all of us have kids about the same time. So we were all kind of hit at the same time. We kind of worked around that. So yeah, the podcast declined after the kids came. But for gaming, basically, first I was really nervous. So I used to have the games here. When I got to, when things settled down and we were cool with having, my wife was cool with having games again, I had it here so that I could put the kids to bed. Especially after the second child came, it's a real production getting the kids to bed, and I'm kind of responsible for the eldest and my wife's responsible for the youngest. So I wanted a game here. Now the kids are older and they're really fine with one of us being away and the other one putting them both to bed. I'm just basically, just after dinner, I head out and I game. And we learned that they were okay with this because my wife is also studying. So she had been going to the library after dinner, and I realized that, you know what, it's actually easier for me to put the kids to bed when it's just me. So yeah, and at that point I'm like, let's give that a shot. So that worked out fine. So now I'm able to like game like twice a month. So for me, that's lots.
How about you, Tallulah?
No, what I was saying was, when Isidore was first born, we were still in Texas, and we had a couple of friends out there that when we wanted to, we could go to their place or they could go to ours, and Peanut loved them and they loved her, so it was really easy to game. We didn't have to worry about, you know, what was going to happen to her, if she was still awake, if I needed to feed her or anything like that. And then we moved to DC and we did one of those meetups, and there's a gaming shop near us that you can game at the store, so we just started going there, and luckily for us, Isidora loved everyone and everyone loved her, so we just bring her along and bring her some games, some books, and go nuts.
Awesome. I think I've seen some of your tweets about that, and they're like playing D&D in the background.
Yeah,
and it's like her in the middle of like all these guys.
Yeah, she's amazingly comfortable around gamers. She doesn't get nervous around them or any of that stuff. It's kind of fun.
And how are they around them, around her?
Really good. There were one or two you could tell weren't comfortable around small children and didn't know how to react, but most of them, no, they loved her. They didn't have any problems with her and entertained her and kept an eye on her for us. It was like having little aunts and uncles around for us.
So what games have you taught your children? Have they just been like the normal regular kid games, or have you brought in any like role-playing games?
Well, Peanut is still a little small for most RPGs. You know, we've played Chutes and Ladders, Mommy. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yes, she plays Chutes and Ladders. And then we also let her play with the dice, and she, you know, she's perused through our D&D book, so she likes to look at all the pictures of the dragons and ask questions.
So she's gotten some experience.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, the beginning experience.
Yeah.
Kind of the same. I mean, Chutes and Ladders, and there's a couple of the games we play with the princess. Smiley's a little bit young. She doesn't understand rules yet. Mm-hmm. So, but the one thing that I have done with the princess is kind of make up your own story. So she really loves at bedtime if we all start. I'll say, okay, so you, and right now the other characters in them are either Disney princesses or characters from Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it used to be something like, okay, so you and Ariel are on the beach and you see a big cloud on the horizon. It keeps getting closer. What is it? And then, you know, she would fall, oh, well, it's a dragon. Oh, okay, well, what, you know, what's the dragon doing? And we would do that at night for 15-20 minutes. That would be her bedtime story, and she loves doing that. Sometimes she's like, can we just read a book? It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. But sometimes she's really into it. So that's, Rob had played a game called RPG Kids, which you can find at newbiedm.com with his eldest, and his eldest again is a little bit older than my eldest, so it's basically a 4.5.
and he had really good experience with it. And so it's something that I want to try, but I want to wait until Smiley is also four.
Mm-hmm.
So Princess will be a little bit older, but because anytime we try to play a game, so when I get home from work, basically my wife stays home with the kids, so she's really tired. So basically I take the kids at that point and they're like, I try to entertain them for a while. If my wife is able to watch one of the kids, I can play with Princess. I can play Chutes and Ladders or whatever the game are. It's fine. But if it's the three of us, if it's Smiley, Princess, and I, we can't play a game because Smiley wants to get involved. And she's not actually playing the game. She's just doing stuff.
They're just putting things in her really mouth.
it upsets Princess. She's like, no, that's, she can't do that. But when Smiley's old enough, I want to try this RPG Kids because Rob had a very good experience with it. And I think it'd be... I've read it, and it's definitely the kind of thing that that I think, based on the little make-your-own-story thing that we've been doing, that Princess would really enjoy.
So have you seen a difference then with them, just learning-wise? Like, have they started, when they use dice, do they count all the numbers and they start learning the math and, like, the imagination stuff? You know, that's all your creativity and, like, just broadening that even more.
Isadora definitely gets the... imagination part, because you know she runs around and fights dragons and all sorts of important things around the house for us. And when we play D&D, I'll try to explain to her what's going on, you know, just so she kind of understands why we're, you know, hey, mommy's fighting a mean dragon, you gonna help her? Here, roll this dice. And she does that for me. That's her little part of participating in in role playing.
I recently got this awesome set of panda dice, and because there were six, we were able to dole them out among the family. So Princess got two, Smiley got two, and I got two. Oh no, I only got one. There were five.
Well, you'll see me at Gen Con. It'll be okay.
But some of them were very pretty colors. So it's like, ooh, purple, I want that one. So yeah, so they have the dice, and Princess knows all about numbers, and she had a lot of fun. So what we were trying to do was teach her addition using the two dice. Her problem is she's pretty bright, but she doesn't want to apply herself.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, my wife says she takes after Daddy. But so she loved the rolling the dice, but then the whole adding up thing, it's like, I don't want to do that. So we tried.
Eventually. She'll get it.
Someday. Yeah.
But it's something. I mean, you're starting them off, you know. Even just playing games, it's getting those creative juices flowing and not just, you know, interacting with like the TV or, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And, you know, I was going to say about the RPG Kids, I remember you guys linked that on there. So I checked out my, you know, friendly little game shop, and they have an adorable fairy role-playing game for little kids. And I'm yes, it is absolutely adorable. And I cannot wait until Isadora is old enough to play something like that.
I want to play that.
I know, I want to play it too. I just can't find anybody who would do it with me.
Bring it to Gen Con.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll bring Panda Dice.
Okay, it's on.
It'll be a game. So do you guys, what kind of stories do you read your kids? Anything like fantasy and stuff, and that could be compared to some of the more traditional gaming that we know? I guess, you know, you both mentioned like the dragons and everything.
It really depends on her mood. You know, sometimes we can do stories, you know, the typical kid stories, chicka chicka boom boom, guess how much I love you, and things like that. And other times we read her fairy story or things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, the right now Smiley is mostly pretty basic stuff. Princess likes a wide variety of things. Oddly enough, I didn't really know much about the Disney princesses being a boy, but...
now you know everything.
I do. And Sleeping Beauty apparently has a kick-ass dragon fight going on there. So there's that. I mean, I don't know where they get the giant, because this is the thing right now. The thing right now is their game where they're being chased by a giant and have to hide. And I'm not sure where the giant thing comes from, because we haven't read any stories with giants in them or anything like that I recall. Maybe Jack and the Beanstalk, because Princess does love fairy tales. Mm-hmm. We've got a big, huge book full of fairy tales, and we'll go through two or three a night as her story. So maybe that's where she got it from. But yeah, like The good thing is fairy tales tend to have a lot of fantasy in them, so it's kind of prepping them up.
Yeah. So basically what we're doing is we're molding our children to be get little gamers.
Yes.
Totally. My the best man at my wedding, and he was at Gen Con with us in 2008. So again, those of us are the Saxon Survivors, he was on there. His name's Colin. He has three boys. Now, when they were 12, 10, and 8, or 12, anyways, when they were younger, he got them involved in D&D. And when his eldest boy was 14, he ran his first dungeon. And seriously, the kid was totally mature about it. Like, it was, I'm thinking, the dungeons I was running at 14 years old were not like that. So starting them young, I think there seems to be, at least among his boys, there was a level of maturity that came along with years in gaming, right? Mm-hmm. So just somebody that had spent, you know, if you started when you were 14 and you've got 8 years in gaming, you're like 22. Well, because the kid had started so young, his 8 years of gaming, you know, it's like he's 14 or 15 or whatever, and he's acting it like very, very mature for a 14-year-old.
Well, I mean, you still get, you're comprehending those rules, and that's like a whole different level of comprehension, and you have to figure out like on your toes and try, you know, organizing people and managing them. So I think it brings a little more maturity, definitely.
I think it does. And I mean, when I think back to my own childhood and when I started gaming, I was in grade 8. So I mean, I was a little bit older than you know, than we're talking here, but I'm lucky, although my parents were churchgoers, we were a church-going family, there was none of the, D&D, Satan, or whatever, because my parents actually saw how, like, what the game was about. Like, they took, not an interest in it, it wasn't like, show me how to play, but, you know, what are you doing? And I would explain it to them, and I would show it to them, and they'd be like, oh, okay. And it was obviously, like, non-threatening to them, and I was doing stuff like, you know, working on math, and there were... In the first edition Dungeon Master's Guide, there's actually like charts, probability charts for dice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they probably saw stuff like that and go, holy crap, it looks like physics. Okay, you keep up at that, son.
It is a lot of math and numbers and everything.
My parents still don't understand gaming, what it is. I've explained it and explained it and explained it. And they're just like, that's nice, dear. Do you have fun? Okay.
Did you win at your Dungeons and Dragons?
Pretty much.
Yeah, Mom. Yeah, I did.
I've gotten that question. So I guess going back to everything, how important do you think it is to teach your kids these games or like in the future or just reading the books to them now to get their to be more creative in life?
I just like to teach it to her because, you know, Mommy and Daddy enjoy it so much and I want her to enjoy what we enjoy. And I want to make sure that she's balanced and, you know lots of different things. And I'm hoping that as she gets older, she'll learn to accept that small children, not small children, but other children, just because they're different and do something different from you, doesn't mean they're a geek or popular or anything like that.
I think, like, I'm very interested in getting my children involved because I think, A, it's an awesome pastime. I wouldn't have spent so much time doing it myself. I think it does increase... It exercises creativity, and just like any other muscle, the more you exercise it, the easier it is to use it. And I also think that maybe not the games I like right now, but I'm thinking, you know, like if my kid could read, for example, like 4E Dungeons and Dragons and figure it out, because when we first started playing, we didn't have anyone to teach us. We got the books. And we're like, how the fuck does this thing work? And we tried like figure it out for ourselves. That was, I mean, educational on its own, but I mean, it also had a lot of problem solving and almost like scientific, like experimentation. I think this is how it works. Let's try it. Ooh, nope, that's not how it works. Let's try again. So there's a lot of value to learning role-playing games. But again, I'm coming at that with a huge amount of bias. And like Becca said, I'm hoping that my kids are going to be well-rounded. I mean, I don't want them just to be gamers. You know, I want them to be readers and musicians and scientists because, you know, when I retire, I intend for them to take care of me, goddammit.
Which RPGs would you want to teach them when they get old enough? So let's say like, you know, the 10, 12, 14 range. Which ones would you pick off the shelf to try to teach them?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still a pretty newish gamer, so I've only played a few systems. So to me, D&D is the easiest because it's, you know, the first one I learned.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it would just depend on how much experience I've had by the time she's old enough to really be a gamer.
Okay.
My kids are going to play the games that Daddy wrote. And if they don't like it, I don't care. I'm going to smack them around and make them play some more. It's funny to say that D&D is the easiest game, because it's really not. But it seems that way, because that's the game that we all started with, right? And so it's when I think back, like when we actually started, we had the red book. It was like a box and had this soft cover red book. It was basic D&D, which is actually a lot easier than advanced D&D or first edition. So we kind of figured that out. But I'm looking at like 4E and I'm thinking, wow, if that was like dropped in front of us and we had nothing except a vague idea of how this thing works, I honestly don't know if I'd be able to figure it out for myself. But because we always had somebody there to show us, and I mean, our kids will too, because we'll be like, this is how it works. It seems that much easier. But to answer the question, as I look at my shelf, there's a few games I think I would like to teach them, along with the games that Daddy writes, which they are going to love. If my kids are into comic books, I would probably go with Mutants and Masterminds. And I'm assuming my kids are going to be into comic books because I'm going to make them read comic books, whether they like it or not. Exactly. Tell me you love it. Tell me. I would choose Mutants and Masterminds because it is like D&D, but kind of simplified, and I think that the mechanics are clean enough that it'll be easier for them to get their head around. Honestly, it's what game should they learn? I'm going to find out what they like. So what are you digging right now, princess? I want to fight a dragon. Well, you know what? Fighting dragons, all right, D&D, let's do it. Or I want to fly a spaceship. I just happen to have a copy of Star Wars right over here.
Yeah, there's so many different games to fit any personality.
There really are, and that's the nice thing. And probably right now, if I had to pick one for her right this very second, it would be D&D, just because she loves dragons and magic and things like that so much. And she does her own little version of role-playing around the house, fighting dragons and helping the princesses and rescuing people.
So I know, Tallulah, you took Peanut to Gen Con last year.
Yes, that was both of our first convention, so we had our first experience together. I have to share it with her. It was very nice.
So what did she think about all that, with all the people and the people dressed up, and it was thousands of people there?
Oh, she loved it, and she's a people person anyway, so she loved all the people and people to talk to her. And because, you know, I don't know if you remember, I dressed her up. And
yeah.
Yes, because I'm the dork that dressed her kid up in the World of Warcraft costume. And I had our big, giant, big blue dude, as he's known, the Voidwalker, that is so big that she got a lot of attention. At first, she was a little leery. And then she started hamming it up for all the pictures. And then by the end of the day, she was just over it. She's, you know, okay, fine, I'll pose and look cute for this picture. But, okay.
And just as an aside, I love it when the kids do the okay, like, you know, your 2-year-old kid is like,
life is so hard.
What are you gonna be like when you're a teenager? Oh, this is not gonna end well.
Life is so hard. You get fed and you take naps.
Yeah.
You get to play games all day.
You're the center of attention. Oh, life is terrible.
Will the princess or Smiley ever make it to a convention, you think?
Well, you know what? I don't want to say never, because actually after our first Gen Con, we said never again. We're like, we don't have to do this again. But then after seeing everybody going all the time, we're like, yeah, I want to go again and see everyone. But I would, again, if they get like, you know, when they're a little bit older and like we try out some role-playing games, and if they dig it, then I'll be like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do a family thing. Because I know my wife would totally be into it. If my kids end up enjoying gaming, my wife is just like so cool that she'd be like, all right, let's do that. You know, even though she'll probably expect to have a horrible time herself. But then again, if we're able to do a big, like, she knows Rob and she knows Chris and she knows their wives and their kids and everything. Like, they come over here, they come and visit us here and all that stuff. So if it was a big, huge family outing like that, like, a huge accidental survivors clan family outing. Like, she'd totally do it, and I think it'd be a blast.
Yeah.
Is Peanut coming this year?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, and Daddy's coming this year too, so I'm very excited about that. Barring so cool. some kind of mass insanity, which I won't allow to happen. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because we had such a good time last year, and poor E over there was jealous and wanted to come and play. So, and I'm hyping it up for him so he knows how awesome it is.
Yes, it's going to be awesome this year.
It is. There's going to be so many people there that I know that I'm excited about.
That's the best part about Gen Con.
It is.
Exactly. It's not the scheduled games. It's not the dealer room. It's none of that. It was like, for us, it was just meeting all the other podcasters, like, who are all such cool people, and just making that connection, saying, you know, even people like, there are a few podcasters that we kind of had a relationship, like through email or whatever, but there were other podcasters that we just like listened to, but it was so welcoming and so engaging, and we just had a blast. And that was the thing. We laughed. We're like, we don't really need to go back, because Gen Con itself, you know, it wasn't that special. But then the years between 2008 we went, and now each time, each year, it was like, oh, they're all going and they're all having such fun there, and we're not there. So this year
happy
was like,
hour.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's go. And so, and again, because our wives are supportive of our hobby, they were like, yeah, do it. And the funny thing is, I might not have done it this year. Like, we were negotiating, my wife said, yeah, it's not a problem. But then her mother, like, my wife's from South Korea, and her mom had an accident. So she's recovering now. She's fine and everything. But my wife felt really guilty because all her brothers and sisters were helping out her mom, and she wasn't able to. So she's like, all right, I'm going to go, but because of the cost and everything, she's like, I'm going to have to go for a long time. She's going to be going for like 3 months with the kids. So that is going to be super rough. But the silver lining in that cloud is that I get to go to Gen Con without any worries. Like, it's not like I'm leaving her with the kids at home or anything like that. So one benefit.
Nice. I have a lovely benefit of Gen Con being in my hometown. So I have free babysitters in my parents.
Oh, so
and,
cool.
You know, my little one's cousin, well, she has cousins, and then her Aunt Chica, as we call her, loves her, and she loves her Aunt Chica. So, yes, that's perfect. I don't have to worry about where we're going to, you know, stay. If we want to stay with them, we can stay with them for free, or we can stay at a hotel nearest them. It's nice.
Or you can stay at a hotel, and Peanut can stay with them.
Exactly. That was the nice thing last year, is I got on town Wednesday night, too late to meet up with everyone, but Thursday I'm getting tweets from, hey, come meet us, we're at the embassy. And I mentioned it to my mom, and she practically kicked me out the door so she can get some, you know, free time with her granddaughter that she doesn't get to see very often. And coming in late, and they didn't care. Did you have fun with your little friends? Yes, mom. Okay.
So what's the best thing about having kids? Anything?
Wow. Do you have another hour?
Yeah, really. Well,
what's
I know, right?
What's the one best thing about having kids?
You know what? For me, it is that moment when I get home from work, and the kids are so excited to see me, and they got to tell me everything they did, and they've got to give me hugs and just hang off me. And really, a lot of times you see these studies that say that parents are depressed or whatever. They're not that happy. Kids don't make you happy. Look at all these things. And any parent's going to tell you, well, yeah, there's down points and there's tough periods. But honestly, like, it's really awesome having kids. And then I read an article that kind of explained it, like, tongue in cheek, but it's like, it's an addiction. It's like that high when something cool happens with your kid. It's just like a drug high. So even with a regular addiction, when you feel shitty, like when you don't have the drug around or whatever, and like you have shitty times with kids, but the highs are so awesome. It's just like, oh, this is so good. Let's have another one.
How about you?
I don't know. Probably my favorite thing is she makes me laugh all day long. She just says the funniest things and does the funniest things. And I can't help but smile and think, oh my gosh, I made that. That is so awesome. You know, and you see her grow, and you see something that you taught her a couple days ago, and she's getting it. And of course, there's that, you know, nighttime when she rolls over and says, I love you too, Mommy. I love you all the days and all the nights.
At dinner tonight, my two-year-old looked up at me and said, miss you, Daddy, because she missed me while I was at work. And it's like, oh.
So do you have any final tips on balancing like your family and gaming?
You know, I would recommend, you know, don't assume your kid can't go out. Take them out and do stuff with them, game with them, and they'll, you know, as they grow, they'll learn how to spend time around gamers, and they can be comfortable around them and things like that. Don't assume they won't be okay.
I think now, just following on what Becca said, I know from my group, I couldn't do that. There's one guy in my group that is really good with kids, and the others have no idea what to do with them. And I, honestly, before I had kids, I would be the same way. I never changed a dirty diaper until I had kids. Like, so I think if I was still back with the guys in Kitchener, like the other accidental survivors, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem taking either or both of my kids to a game night. But I know with my group, it might be an issue. So I think it would be awesome to bring your kid to the game and involve them in a certain respect. But I would also kind of, can your group handle it kind of thing? Mm-hmm. For me, the big thing is the support that I get from my wife. Like I said, she's studying. So it's very much mutual support. It's like whenever she needs to study, I'm like, I got the kids. It's all good. It's all good. So like, for example, she had a couple of weekends back, she had a test on the Monday. So, you know, from Friday when Daddy got home till Monday when Mommy had her test, I was kind of a single parent, which is fine because then there's some nights that I want to go out, you know, and game and stuff. So as long as there's reciprocity in that, and just like Becca said, don't assume that your kid can't handle it. Don't assume that your partner can't either. Like, talk about it as with any relationship. Talk about it, let them know this is important to you, and figure out how you can do it.
Awesome. So we'll tie up the topic there, and we're going to move on to Becca and Fraser's corner. Yay!
Don't put baby in the corner.
Peanut's not in the corner. We can hear it running around.
No, Peanut's currently in a laundry basket.
I'm not really sure. That's a perfect place to put her.
it's the best toy. It's a train. It's a car. It's a fortress when necessary. Laundry hampers are just wonderful.
They are.
So in this corner, you each get to talk about something that is fun and interesting that you don't get to usually talk about.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't know what to talk about. My main things are, you know, my peanut and playing and doing the mommy thing.
You have anything coming up?
No, I sure don't.
No gaming stuff that you're going to be doing soon, or?
No, the only thing I've even remotely thought about lately is how to raise a proper geekling, but worry about, you know, how she'll be accepted, because kids are cruel, and anything different is hard. You know, if you're not the cute little popular cheerleader, you're not always accepted, and I want her to be able to be who she is, and if that's a gamer geek, that's fine, or if she's Miss Popularity, that's fine.
I think I'm going to throw my two cents in here as if this were my own podcast and I was doing the interviewing, so there. I think C.S. Lewis wrote, he was writing about something else. He was writing about grief and religion and whatever, but he was talking about grief and pain being like the chisel and hammer of a sculptor, and that as horrible as it is at the time, it creates something beautiful. And I think all of us have had times where we felt outcast or preyed upon and have had dark and sad times in our lives. But I think these three right here have turned out quite well. So I think that no matter what happens to our kids, and as horrible and heartrending as it is to be a parent and see, you know, on the playground, your kid being excluded, or how other children can be nasty and stuff like that, as terrible as it feels, it's like, That happened to you too. You got over it. You lived through it, and you were probably better for it. So, as you know, I want to step back and be a reasonable father and say that, you know, this, as terrible as this is right now, it's a growth experience. She's going to be well. But it's like nothing hurts as bad as seeing the emotional pain in your child. And especially Princess really wears her heart on her sleeve. And she will walk up to children at a playground and say, do you want to be friends? And when those kids like turn their backs or, you know, stick their noses up, it like really hurts. But by the same token, in the end, I think she's going to be a better person, especially if life buffets her around and she has a difficult time. Because if she coasts through life being the happy-go-lucky cheerleader, nothing ever touches her, when something bad does happen as an adult, and as an adult, bad things always do happen, she's not going to know how to handle it.
Yeah, does she just go back up to the next person then and ask
if they're
happy? She does,
actually. It's like, all right, you're okay. Next.
So it might hurt you to watch that, but she's just like, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to play with them anyways.
Yeah. So I'm sure they'll all turn out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, we all did, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Like, we talk about the things that are going to happen when they're teenagers and everything, and I think, yeah, I had an interesting time as a teenager as well, but in the end, everything worked out. So, yeah. Hey, in this corner, can I pimp stuff?
Yeah, go for it.
I had this little going concern called Swords Edge Publishing, and it used to publish stuff until the kids came, mm-hmm. and it stopped. But we're kind of back now, and we threw up a couple things. There's a product called Arcane Kingdoms, which is like seven kind of sketches of fantasy kingdoms that you can throw into your game.
Cool.
As much inspiration as anything else. And then just yesterday, a collecting short stories got fired up called Four Simple Coin, and it's kind of a lead-in to the big one, which should be coming in March, called Sword Noir.
I've seen your post about it.
Yeah, this is the big one for me because it's kind of a genre that I stumbled into, and it's an attempt to meld the hardboiled detective fiction of like Philip Marlowe and Sam Spade mm-hmm. with sword and sorcery. So kind of think of the plot of a Raymond Chandler novel like Farewell My Lovely, but instead of having Philip Marlowe, it's got like Fafhrd and the Grey Mouser. And it's set in like a fantasy like Lankmar. That's what I'm trying to get done there. And that's what those stories are about, the short story collection,
uh-huh.
Is that kind of fiction. And the game, which will be coming very soon, there's a paragraph description of what I consider Sword Noir, and every part of that game answers to some part of that description. So it's hopefully it's going to totally bring that experience to the tabletop. And then after that, it's Kiss My Axe, which is Viking role playing. And today I just finished doing the Frost Giant and the Troll.
Nice. So with Sword Noir, what type of game is that? Is that like what dice and...
There's a really awesome sword and sorcery game based on PDQ,
okay.
Which is called Jaws of the Six Serpents. And after I got that, I really liked it. There were a few things that I wanted to change. And those few things just kind of... There are a few things I want to change. As a sword and sorcery game, I think it worked almost perfectly. I dabble, no matter what, I dabble. Like, whatever rules I get, I dabble. But then when... I had a couple of these short sword noir stories published and I decided I wanted to run the game. Then I said, instead of just kind of hacking this, I think I want to say exactly what the experience is supposed to be and then build something for that. So it's basically a traditional game. It's not like a story game so much. It's just that instead of like skills and feats and stuff like that, you just have qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, you'd have a concept like a scald, you're a Viking bard, or assassin, or whatever, or farm boy. And then you'd have qualities, kind of like your sword might be a quality, or you might be charming rogue. And whenever you can explain to the game master how this quality will affect the test that you're about to do, this thing that you're trying to do, then that will modify your die roll. And it's a dice versus target number. It's 2d10 versus a target number. All the rolling done by the players, none by the GM.
Cool. I look forward to hearing more about it when it comes out.
Yes. And the layout's being done by Rob from Accidental Survivors and his wife Melody, and it's awesome. It looks just gorgeous.
So what is, how is it going to be printed and everything? How many pages is it?
It's, no, damn you! I think it's like 70 pages, something like that. I'm not actually going to know until the layout is done, but the raw text in Word format is like 70 pages.
Okay.
And it's going to be, it's going to originally be a PDF, but it is going to be print on demand as well. So we, Sword Edge Publishing is sold exclusively through RPG Now and DriveThruRPG, mm-hmm. which also has a print on demand as well. So both the PDF and print on demand will be available through RPG Now. And watch swordsedgepublishing.ca for more information.
Nice. We'll link to that in the show notes, too.
Yay, pimpage!
Yay! So that was your corner. We'll tie this up with the last little section, which is the rate it section. So maybe if Peanut wants to do this, too, she could do it at the end. So all you have to do is list in order from best to least best the following five words. It's puppies, pandas, tacos, gaming, and dice.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to say that dice is at the bottom.
Okay.
Because dice on their own, I'm not very interested in. Dice have their uses, but that use is already covered in another word that has to be also rated. So dice at the bottom.
Okay.
Pandas, as cute as they are, especially when represented on dice, are terribly dangerous. Have you read Player versus Player, the webcomic?
Yes.
That will warn you the dangers of having a panda in your office. So I'm a little bit worried about having a panda. So panda's second from the bottom.
Okay.
And puppies are nice and awesome and everything, but we live in a townhouse. We actually don't even have a backyard. So I can only imagine where the puppy would probably do its business. So yeah, they're not any higher than that. Cute, but dirty.
Yes.
Tacos, delicious. So they're number two. But what the tacos can't do is they can't entertain a group of five for multiple hours. Because half an hour, 45 minutes maybe. But by then, man, you're totally full.
Yeah.
Gaming can go on and on and on.
Yes, tacos.
So gaming, number one.
How about you, Becca?
Okay, I'm going to have to say dice number five just because, I mean, dice are cool and all, but yeah, there's only so much you can do with a pair of dice or a set of dice. And then number four, I'm going to have to say puppies because I'm a cat person. I like puppies. Honestly, I like other people's puppies.
That's allowed.
Yes. You know, and other people's puppies are quite lovely, but they go home with the other people.
Yes.
And then number three, two, and one, it's so close. I don't know. I'll say pandas next just because I have to pick a three. And then two would be tacos because tacos are pretty awesome and they're fun to make.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different kinds of tacos. It's just fun. And then number one, definitely gaming.
Just awesome.
Because gaming is awesome.
Yay. So what does Peanut think?
What does Peanut think about tacos?
Not Peanut
thinks. She doesn't think anything about tacos at this moment.
What about puppies?
You like puppies?
No.
No?
Rudolphs.
You like... Oh, she likes Rudolphs.
Oh. What about pandas?
Pandas? Do you like pandas?
I do love pandas.
She does love pandas.
Okay.
So. Pandas are Peanut approved.
Awesome. Okay, guys.
Oh, my goodness. The can of worms that I have opened.
Well, I'll leave you guys with that. And so thanks for coming on my show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
come visit the Genisode forums at RPG Crosstalk. It is the new forum for RPG podcasts such as the Genisodes, the Canon Puncture Show, Narrative Control, the Sharkbone Podcast, and Designer vs. Reality. Consider this your personal invitation. You can find us at rpgcrosstalk.webs.com.